This is ESPN Radio's Bart and Hahn Podcast.
It's Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, hour number two, Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. I had to get away from the, sexy DJ voice from before.
Welcome
I got
back.
Really caught up in that.
Welcome back. It was like a bottomless pit, man. You didn't know when you were going to hit bottom.
I just wanted to keep free-falling because it felt good. And, of course, the whole segment just went off the rails. But that's always good radio, isn't it? Speaking of good radio, our good friend Jay Williams from KJZ joins us right now. On the
Jay Weezy.
What up, baby?
What's happening, man?
What it do?
I'm doing my Rocky Balboa workout right now. I got the punching bag installed, the house bar. I'm out here knocking it like I'm Apollo fighting Ivan Drago. You know what I mean?
Hey, don't be Creed and get knocked out your first time. Hey, do you have the one that comes up from the bottom? The one you see on TV, the white
critical.
One?
No, I got the one installed from the ceiling. I got
love
the one.
It.
And why does the only black guy in the movie have to be the one knocked out and passed away from a fighter, right? Why Bart?
Exactly,
why we gotta
man.
Take these roles, man?
Listen, I thought with Apollo Creed, Carl Weathers, you know what I'm saying, with all the taco meat, man, he got that 80s, 90s, adult film taco meat on his chest, man. I was like, bro, that's a Brillo pad, man. You're going to hurt somebody with that chest hair.
That's what I was going to say.
He lost me already. I already feel like I'm on the verge of going into a realm that will get me fired from Mickey Mouse. So I'm going to stay in my lane, and I'm back now.
I really said adult movie. That's
different.
But
that – honestly, though, because even when I was watching that movie in the 80s as a kid, like, it made me think about manscaping. Like, I legit, that's just one of those things.
How old,
that it's just,
though, Alan? How old were you when you first thought about manscaping? Let's be honest here.
For me? Well, I'm not a very hairy person. Yeah. So it wasn't something that I really worried about too much until after college.
Yeah.
But.
You see, Bart, I feel like Alan got a little bit uneasy right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Answering that question.
If I had chest hair,
I am an open book. I have nothing to hide.
If I had chest hair like Apollo Creed, man, I would put a Just For Me perm kit on my chest.
Oh, yeah. I'm putting it in curls and everything. I'm twisting it, braiding it, and doing all this.
But seriously, though, Apollo's chest was like you could strip paint off a fender in a car with that.
Yo,
like,
yo, I can only imagine what John is thinking right now. But, man, could you imagine being his lady and laying on that thing, mess up, and you exfoliated the whole side of your face? You didn't even got to go to the spa.
It's the world's most comfortable pillow, Bart. You know what I mean?
Speaking about uncomfortable, man, how uncomfortable is LeBron with having to put up all these minutes and having to carry all this work? Is he going to burn himself out for the playoffs? And if so, when do they start, talking about that magical load management?
See, so I saw him last night after the postgame, right, where he was like, look, I'm not tired. Like, stop asking me questions about it.
But he's the one who told us that he –
Go ahead, Bart.
No, he's the one that told us he was tired. He wanted the season to start after Martin Luther King Day. So all of a sudden now he's refreshed. He's got a second breath.
No. But this is what this is what we tell ourselves, Bart. Right? This is psychological warfare. I'm never tired because as soon as I start telling myself that I'm tired, I will be tired. So I'm going to play this role because that's the type of leader LeBron is. Here's what it comes down to, man. It's Frank Vogel strong enough to start load managing LeBron James? Because this is what I believe. Do you want to play the Jazz or the Clippers in the Western Conference semifinals? Probably not. But if AD is back and he's healthy and there are no fans in the arena, even though some arenas, I saw Brooklyn is kind of slowly allowing fans to come back. But
yeah, still, Brooklyn and the Knicks, right.
You know what I mean, Al? It's not going to be the same. It's packed arenas.
Right.
Is it that much of a disadvantage? Like if you're a 3 or 4 seed, is it that big of a thing? I'd rather play the long term here with LeBron than have him try to be – Rocky Balboa and play 43 minutes like he did last night in a game that goes into overtime against the Washington Wizards. You know what I mean?
Jake, let me ask you this. Now, clearly he was asked the question, so it's not like he's pushing it. He was asked the question about it, and then he responded to the idea of rest because we're all very concerned about LeBron's health, I guess, for some reason. We're all worried that he's going to break down. He's 36. He's putting up huge numbers. He doesn't look like he's ever going to stop, and yet we're worried about, I don't know. I've heard Frank Isola call this the minutes police, and I think it's hysterical because it's exactly what we've become in the media. We're all the minutes police. When a player plays well and he plays 38 to 40-something minutes in a game, it suddenly becomes, you probably got to sit him tomorrow, right? Don't you have to sit him? Oh, my God, he's going to break down. Like, what have we become, NBA media, where we have to now ask all the time about minutes? Let a player play.
No, man. I'm not talking about a dude who's 21, 22, 23, 24, 25 years old. I'm not talking about Giannis. I'm not talking about Luka. I'm talking about a dude who's 36 years old, who's been to multiple Olympics, who keeps training throughout the entire year, who just finished the season, you know, last October, who only had 71 days off. Like, I'm not a minutes police type of guy. If there's anything, Alan, I'm an old school type of cat. I want to see guys play through it.
Thank you.
Like, to sit there and to say, hey, LeBron, at age 36, we need you to play 43 minutes a night, like, that's not the fact. That can't be the right algorithm for success.
Well, he's not. He's playing 35. So he's it's fine. Like, it works.
I think he played 43.
Well, he played 43 because they were in overtime and he missed a free throw. If he doesn't miss the free throw, he doesn't get the 43 minutes. Make the free throw.
So you would play him 35, 36 minutes a night, every night, and let him just play. If LeBron had his way, he would play every game. You would be fine with that.
I would play him every game until the season, until I'm locked up with where I have to be as a playoff team. I would. Now, you're playing some teams that, as we know, and Jay, you know this, once we get to the second half, and the schedule should be coming out any day now, when we get to the second half, there are those teams that are the scrub teams that now are deciding we're here for lottery picks only. And so you're going to be blowing teams out at a point where you're not going to need him to play all those minutes.
I don't
you can manage him in those games.
We got like 25 teams that all feel like right now they can get for a play. They can get a playoff spot.
7-10. Yeah.
This is the most parity I've seen in the NBA in a long time. So I think those scrub teams that typically when there's only like, you know, I don't know what, 20 teams that are
games,
playing
yeah.
realistically for a playoff
yeah.
spot. Now, like, I think now you're going to have teams that are going for it. I don't think you're going to have the same luxury just to take games off in the second part of the season.
All right, let me add this caveat, and I'm going to be the bad guy now, Jay. You can yell at me. That's fine. You always do.
I never
what
tell
if,
you. I love you.
What if this is also for LeBron an opportunity to build a little more of that legacy? You know, MJ never took time off. MJ never got tired. MJ played every minute of every game and all this other stuff. And, boy, what an MVP season he's having, having to carry this team. Don't you think this is, even though he's calling it a narrative that he's trying to dispel, he's also wanting it to stay like, hey, everybody, I don't want to rest. I want to do this. And it turns into, man, LeBron's got to be the MVP. Look what he's doing with a Laker team that's missing its second star.
Or
is that the cynic in me?
Or it flips. Let's say on this run without AD, say they go, I don't know, 5-10.
Okay.
Does that help his MVP MVP vote?
No.
Like I they lost three in a row right now, and it's not the end of the world, but like they're coming up on a pretty interesting schedule here with Utah, Phoenix, Portland.
When they've lost three in a row. Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. That could also backfire on them though, Alan. But I do it does seem like it makes sense because if he plays at a high level while AD's gone and keeps his team above 500 and they haven't really dropped position, I think he runs away with the MVP vote. Runs away with it. But if he doesn't.
Yeah, but I feel like we still have.
That's fair.
Yeah, I feel like we have LeBron fatigue, though, when you think about it. Yes, he's in an argument every year, but I think, you know, we always look at the new person to the conversation, a guy like Joel Embiid and what he's been able to do just with this new system and how he's able to look beautiful. I think somebody that's hurting themselves is Giannis, man. Giannis is like a bad wine. It's like that box wine that when you was in college, you were trying to get that Andres, that box wine, and it just don't age well. You know what I mean? Once you open it, like it's a wrap. Like, I feel like that's Giannis. Giannis not aging well, man. His game just looks worse and worse, and he's coming off with these excuses and all these sob stories, and I think their window has opened and closed before our eyes, and we didn't even realize it, and he didn't even realize it, and now he's locked into a long-term contract where I don't think there's going to be a lot of people trying to knock the door down to ask Giannis to be his second star because he's so limited as far as from a basketball, skill set.
That's why I said from the beginning, just because he signed a 4 or 5 year deal doesn't mean he's going to be there all 4 or 5 years. Especially, Drew Holiday's been out, contact tracing. So I think that plays into it just a little bit. Mm. But I will say this, mark this down. Like, I know Joel Embiid and LeBron are at the top of the conversation, but I'll tell you right now who's coming, who'll probably have a chance to better off Joel Embiid against LeBron down the stretch. It's James Harden, man.
Here we go.
Time is starting. And then come back and drop triple doubles the way he's doing right now.
Did you hear Allen's new name from him? Allen has a new name for him. What's his new name, Allen?
No, this is Brooklyn James. He's not the same guy. He's not Houston Harden. Mm-hmm. Now, he did flop, and it was an epic flop against Kawhi.
It was beautiful.
But the rest of what he's – remember, how, and Jay, you know, and I've always been honest about this. He was mumble rap to me. I couldn't stand him, right? He didn't entertain me. Sure, he was – you know, he put up numbers, and sure, he's got fans, just like mumble rap does, but it's just awful to me. It's not good art. But now when I'm watching him in Brooklyn, he's a different player completely, and I actually enjoy watching him play. And it makes me very uncomfortable. Because I don't want to like him, but I do. I like him in a Nets jersey.
I'll ask you this question then. Doesn't that make you rethink everything that he was doing in Houston under Mike D'Antoni? That style? I mean, a play that they were playing out there? I mean, look, him along with Kyle, like, he is masterful at making people around him better. I just don't think he was showcased properly with the right personnel around him in Houston.
Right.
That's the problem.
Well, that's a great point, but it also will tell you what he thought of the guys around him.
He told you what he thought about him.
Yeah, well, he didn't make that pretty clear, too.
He made it real obvious. Like, man, I can't win with these bums. I'm tired of carrying everybody. Yeah,
now you put him with people at his level, and he definitely, you can tell he respects the guys around him. Look, the toughest part for the Nets was going to be not KD. KD, to me, he can play with anybody. It's not KD. It was Kyrie and James. Can they get along? Can they coexist? Can it work without there being friction? You know, who's going to argue over the ball? Who's going to argue over dominating the offense? And it was Kyrie that's like, I'll play off the ball and just be a scorer because I like doing that anyway. And you can worry about setting everybody up and making sure the ball gets distributed and handling the basketball and having the high usage where the ball's always in your hands because you love that and you're a pretty durable player. It's become a perfect fit, and what makes them so dangerous, Jay. But as they've won six in a row and they swept the West Coast, five wins in the West Coast, both against both L.A. teams, let me ask you, if they're missing something, I think it's sandpaper. I think they need a gritty front guy. Everybody's talking about adding this, adding that. I think they just need one tough dude. You know, if only there was a Rasheed Wallace in the league today, that's the kind of thing they're missing on this team. You know, Kurt Thomas. You know, give me somebody like that on the roster. You know, as Bart would say, the goon. I need one tough guy to give them a little bit of grit that I think that's the one thing they might be lacking. Do you agree with that, or do you think they need something more?
I do. I would say, you know, is a guy like Andre Drummond, could he be that guy for them?
Ah. See, Allen hates that one. Allen hates that one. He wants Tucker. He wants a guy that can shoot the eight ball into the corner pocket, you know, from the corner pocket, and somebody that's a goon that can come off these pick and rolls and still be able to move his feet.
You know, Allen, that's a great one, man. I'm not going to lie to you. P.J., first off, I know this from doing the boardroom. P.J. and KD are extremely tight. They do a lot of stuff together. Yep. And plus, P.J.'s really tight with James. I actually really love that fit.
And people
man.
Think he's done, and he doesn't have to play 38 minutes. He can go, and the thing is, well, when they go up against Embiid, all right, they have DJ, but then you bring in Tucker against Embiid, then all of a sudden you've got a guy that's not afraid of him. He's not going to back down from him. He's going to get dirty with him, and I think you have to. Yeah, I think you absolutely have to. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We're talking with Jay Will from KJZ as we're going through the NBA. And Jay, like I said, I don't think it's a guy that's going to have to play a ton. I think Drummond would also demand the ball more. I don't know how he'd affect your defense. You know, I feel like you've got the chemistry where it needs to be with Brooklyn. I don't think you want to add another alpha personality. I think you want to add somebody that brings toughness and understands a role. And Tucker's done that everywhere he's been. And by the way, his sneaker collection, you bring that to Brooklyn, he'd be a superhero.
Oh, he'll be Brooklyn's finest.
I mean, he could do displays, showings.
If you're able to get a PJ Tucker, and then you have a guy like Andre Roberson, who is a wing stopper, a defender.
Nice,
like, now all of a sudden you got a lot of grit to your team, Alan.
Yeah, it's a nice
addition.
It's a
different team.
I like that. Jay, let me ask you about what's going on in Dallas. Bart and I were just talking about it. There's a report out there. Now, again, it's a report that Dallas is sort of, and the wording was, sniffing around about potential interest in Kristaps Porzingis. Now, that would suggest they're all of a sudden having buyer's remorse. And is that trade now suddenly as lopsided as it looked when it happened?
I will tell you this. If you want to keep Luka Doncic around for a long time, you better find him a suitable running mate. And I know this for a fact. If I'm Luka Doncic, I'm watching. Hey, there's parity in the league, and I know we had a lot of contact tracing issues to start off with. But I'm looking at my roster and I'm saying, this is not enough, man. It's not enough. Like, when Portland comes back healthy, look at Phoenix and the way they're playing. Look at the Lakers. Look at the Clippers. Look at all these stars together. And Porzingis is fine when he's healthy, but is he helping us elevate Tim Hardaway Jr.? I like him when he's making shots, but is he our third superstar? Like, you have to start thinking about this if you're Luka Doncic. And I know if he's thinking it, as sure as hell, Mark Cuban and company are thinking the same thing.
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out what's to play out there. I feel the same about, like, Zion. I feel like Zion's too big and too good for New Orleans that he needs to get out of there. I just don't like the makeup of that team. I know Lonzo Ball has been rumored to be out of there, but I don't like the makeup of that team either. I don't think that team has enough stars or the right type of players to be successful or really have a real push.
But see, Bart, between assists and scoring, I think some, like, Luka accounts for like 60-plus points a night, man.
Wow. Hmm.
That's what
Harden was in Houston.
That's a hard load to carry every night. Wow. After a while, like Zion's going to do what Zion does. He's going to punish people, and I understand all that stuff. But, like, when your team relies upon you to score 30-plus every single night, and you have to give, like, 10 to 15 assists to make jobs easier for everybody, it's a lot of weight to carry as an individual player, man. Like, you're starting to look at other people like, damn, Kawhi got PG. That's shooting 47% from the three. He got Lou Will. Guys can go get buckets. LeBron got AD. Kyle Kuzma. These guys are able to score. They're deep. And he's looking at his squad and being like,
yep.
Okay, I got Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, they've got to upgrade. But there's no doubt they got to upgrade. Settle a score between Bart and I. Yesterday we got into a knockdown dragout about trades. And he feels like, and of course it's hypothetical, because let's say the Wizards, and I know they're on a roll now, let's say the Wizards would be willing to trade Bradley Beal before the deadline. And we're seeing reports, I know Wendy said this, at least three first-round picks. Let's begin with that. Begin the conversation with three first-round picks. And then on top of it, probably like R.J. Barrett and an expiring that would match the salary. And I'm like, I love Beal, but I also love the way this team is starting to really come together. They win tonight against the Warriors, and they're at 500. Julius Randle's going to be named an all-star tonight. And they have a great chemistry going within the group. This is not the time to disrupt it. I would wait till the offseason. And Bart's saying, no, you do it now. What would you do?
I lean towards more of what you're saying, Alan. I'll tell you where I do see Bradley Beal and a team pursuing him hard. The Denver Nuggets have all the assets in the world, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they have the depth. They have picks. I mean, you're talking about a missing link. Can you imagine Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, and Bradley Beal on the same team together?
If I'm the Wizards, I want Murray. I'm the Wizards, who are you giving me that's going to – like, I'm giving
Porter.
You – Beal, who are you giving me? Porter Jr.?
Michael Porter Jr., draft picks. I mean, maybe some other players that we have on our roster. Like, let you have cap off. I mean, that's if Bradley Beal wants to leave. That's the problem, though. Like, I don't –
His agent keeps shooting it down. Right.
I don't know why. I don't know why he's not willing to leave. It's not going to get any better there. They're not surrounded. I mean, really? Westbrook? I mean, that's really a downgrade. That's a downgrade
like
from John Wall. I don't care what they won, Alan. We know that's fool's gold right there, man. They ain't going nowhere. They ain't doing nothing. You can't depend and count on Westbrook.
You know what I'm dying about, Alan? Huh. Like, I've always been a New Jersey Nets fan, right? Brooklyn Nets fan, growing up as a kid. All my boys who are New York Knicks fans, you guys are like in a glass case of emotion. It's like, well, I don't want to mess with the chemistry, but man, we need a superstar. We just want one superstar to want to be here. We can't land one, but now if we have a chance to land Bradley Beal, I'm not sure we want him because it would affect chemistry. Like it's such a tornado of emotions for you guys every time.
I feel like you just called me out. Like Peter King started off the show, he called me out. Now you're calling me out, and you know what? Both of you are not wrong. You're not wrong. You should see it on MSG, right? After in post games, the last two games, they lose to Orlando, and then they barely hold on to beat the Timberwolves. I'm breaking stuff. I've got a broken remote. I've got a broken mug. Like, I'm breaking stuff during games. And you know what I like about that, though, Jay? Is I'm feeling again. I'm feeling
I like
again.
That. Hey,
that's
Trust
a good
Leon
thing.
Leon Rose, man. Trust Leon Rose, World Wide West.
You have to.
I mean, I will say this. He's always had a knack for talent. And the way they're building, I like the style in which they're building. It actually makes you have confidence and belief in the New York Knicks, which we can all say we have not had for a very long time, my friend.
Jay, appreciate you, man. Always good to talk to you.
Hey, Jay Weezy, right, I'm not a professional. I do not want anybody out there to go get just for me perm and put it on your chest. I just want to put out
goodbye,
a disclaimer right
goodbye,
there.
Bart.
I'm not a professional.
Goodbye, Bart.
The opinions does not reflect ESPN and Jay Weezy.
Jay Williams joined us on the Goodyear Hotline, giving us the Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. I don't know how we began the conversation with that, but if you did miss it, go to the podcast and just listen to the very beginning of the conversation. Somehow
he
Apollo
said he was
Creed,
Apollo Creed.
Carl
he said he
Weathers
got his boxing
and
equipment.
His and the perm chest hair thing became a conversation somehow, some way. Coming up next, we'll stop talking. We'll let those who make the headlines do the talking in what we call audio files. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
Come on, Bart Scott.
Let's do it. I'm back. I'm here, son.
It's Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN
Plus. It's looking like Christmas.
ESPN
Follow
app.
My every step.
Get us on your
see,
smart
this,
speaker.
This is when Outkast was Outkast, man. This is before he messed with Erykah Badu. He went from being a gangster thug to start wearing feather pants, man. Erykah Badu, listen, she got a candle now. She got a candle now that's made from her essence.
Her essence,
and it's been sold out. Yes, it's supposed to smell like her. You know what?
Her essence,
her very being,
personal.
and it's been sold out for like 2 years, man. I'm trying to get on the list.
Listen.
She got to have some magic. Anytime you can tame two gangster rappers into politicians and dudes wearing feather pants and suspenders. Listen, I don't know, man. Like, do you want to go that deep? For the greatest ever, would you want to lose yourself and become a different person? Like,
it's
man.
About,
like,
it's all
know,
about
like,
the essence. Look, when Michael Jordan came out with a cologne, remember when he came out with a cologne?
Yeah.
It was like,
it smelled like grapefruit to me.
Like, I just thought of that to myself, like, smelly basketball player? Like, what exactly would be the Jordan essence?
Exactly.
That's
what we're going to do. We're going to reach out to Erykah Badu, and we're going to ask him to get her incense that's made of her. And we're going to smell them, and we're going to play them inside of our studios. You're going to put one of yours, I'm going to put one of mine. We're going to see if we become creative. Now, if I come out of that thing, and I come out with wearing a pizza suit or something crazy.
Why do I feel like I'm the first one that will come out wearing a pizza suit?
You're going to come out with some FUBU pants, look like Malibu's Most Wanted. It's going to be...
I'll be perpetually in my DJ voice.
Listen, man. Erykah Badu, Sade.
Sade. I mean, now you want to start doing that. Like, we're going to... Yeah. Like, why can't once we get in studio... We're running out of time, right? We get in studio, and then we get the candle, put it in the studio so we both are there and see the effects it has on us.
Yo,
here's what we do. We go on the TB12 diet, and we get the Erykah Badu candle.
Yeah.
And we'll see how we look after 6 weeks.
And we're going to call Erykah Badu while we smell her candle and tell her that, hey, listen, I think I love
phrasing.
You.
Phrasing.
I think I love you.
Phrasing.
I love you.
Erykah just lots Badu. Of phrasing right there. You know what? Here's a good time for us to stop talking. Let those making the headlines do the talking for us, and we'll do that in what we call audio files. And it's on ESPN Radio, which is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Let's begin with tonight, the NBA will announce the rest of their All-Star roster. All the starters were announced last week. This week, it's the reserves. Those are voted by the coaches. One of the potential, I should say, a guy that should definitely be an All-Star this year is a terrific story with the New York Knicks, and that is Julius Randle. And Julius Randle said something very interesting on J.J. Redick's podcast, The Old Man and the Three, which is a great name. And he was talking about Tom Thibodeau and the impact that Tibbs has had on Randle. He called it a perfect fit. And those who say Tibbs is one of those old school, hard driving coaches and those guys in Minnesota hated playing for him, listen to what Randle said about it.
Tibbs is the type of guy that, you know, he just expects a certain level, like you said, a certain level of professionalism. He expects you to do things the right way, be prepared and do things the right way on a day-to-day basis. And if you don't want to do that, then it's going to be tough. So, I mean, we go about practice a certain way. We go about shoot-arounds and stuff a certain way. And I respect it, and I appreciate it because early throughout the season, we're seeing the results of creating the right habits, doing things the right way. So, I mean, it's dope for me. And honestly, man, he's not as much of a hard as people think he is, bro. Like, the dude is super cool, bro. Like, you can talk to him, like, you know, he gonna kill me if he sees me. He really is soft, man. Like, you can talk to him. So, I mean, Tibbs is dope, bro. Like, he's dope. He's really, honestly, he's a player's coach. Like, this is the most fun as far as in the league that I've had playing for sure.
But those are strong comments about, and again, Tibbs has had that reputation of how he's tough to play for, right? Old school style that a lot of guys today, they don't want to deal with that. But maybe it's just, okay, if I have a type of coach, I better get the type of players that work with him, and that they didn't have in Minnesota.
Yeah, you think about, listen, it's not a one-size-fits-all. It's different ways to be great and be elite. You know, you got the D'Antonis of the world. You got guys that let guys play, you know, that have different philosophies, and you have to find the philosophy and the style and the brand that fits you. Now, I think that Julius Randle is maybe more equipped because you think about who trained him during his most impressionable years. It's Kyler Perry. Kyler Perry is a tough, grinded-out, hard-nosed type of coach. So that's what he likes, right? That's what he responds to. But not everybody responds to that. And if you're not that type of player, then I suggest that you don't go play for that type of coach. But, you know, you think about, you know, Tibbs and what he's been able to do. Let's see how these guys, you know, respond and how they finish, right? Because a lot of times you think about hard practices, you think about, you know, setting a standard that you have to live up to, a hard way about trying to prepare. Then you worry about, okay, like, you know, how is this team going to be in the second half if we grind it out, if we're burning the candle at both ends, which is what some of the haters would say. But, you know, I think we have a young team. You got a team that's capable of doing that. Now, let's see if these new athletes are capable to handle or respond to that, like Quickly, but Quickly came from Kentucky too, so he's built the same way.
Well, that's my point. You got a gym rat coach, you got to have gym rat players, and that's what they have in New York right now, and we'll see tonight if they can get to 500, which they might be a parade if they do, everybody, and I definitely will go streaking in the quad if that happens. In fact, I promise, I probably will do something out in the snow tonight if they do. Meanwhile, spring training, no snow there. You have baseball going on, you have workouts going on, and you have maybe the next star in baseball. He's already becoming that. Some people equating him with LeBron James, and that is Fernando Tatis Jr., who signed a 14-year, $340 million contract to stay in San Diego with the Padres. And he says that's where he wants to be for the rest of his career. Take a listen.
To the city of San Diego, we're here to stay, and I'm, you know, I love this city, I love the fans, I love the culture, I love the vibe, and I'm all about winning, and I'm all about winning in San Diego. The players I admire the most, they stay in one team, they build a culture, and they become winners with the team. They just give them the chance, and you know, I'm over here trying to do the same. I'm just a kid that's going to play this game with the same love since I was playing in the backyard in the house. And I'm just going to bring that same energy and same love probably until I'm 40. So it's not going to be 14. Probably it's going to be even more.
He wants to finish his career there. He said, until I'm 40. Now, that is Fernando Tatis Jr. from the Padres. Signed again that 14-year, $340 million contract at the start of this season. He was going into arbitration. It's Bart and Han. This is audio file, so you hear from him. And Bart, I will say this. Giancarlo Stanton signed that 13-year deal that he had, that this broke that record for the longest deal in Major League history. He signed that deal and 3 years later was traded to the Yankees. So
well, he had the opt-out, and let's see how this language is written as well. Let's see if he has that opt-out and the same flexibility that if the team doesn't fulfill and keep their promise. Because right now it's great to be a Padre, right? Let's think about what they've done. They started off with Eric Hosmer. Then they went out and got Manny Machado this offseason. They went out and got Blake Snell. So this is a team, Yu Darvish, this is a team that's trying to win right now, and they're not they're willing to spend the money in the market and perform and act like a big market team, even though I don't know if you would call San Diego a big market team. But he's one of the brightest stars right now. He's a guy that you wanted to make sure that you buy. That he is nothing else. He doesn't have to prove himself. Like, we're waiting to see if Gleyber Torres is the truth. He's proven himself as a superstar, a guy that has a knack for performing and playing big in the biggest moments. He has a flair for the dramatic, and I think he can be the face because Mike Trout is not interested in making sure that he sells tickets and sells jerseys. All he wants to do is win and play at a high level. He doesn't care about the team around him. If he did so, then he wouldn't have signed a long-term contract with the Angels. He would have went to Philly, as he was coming close to free agency. So this is a young guy that's in a market, that a team that I think is going to push to try and be a champion in short order.
Trout having the longest deal, the biggest deal in $426 million over 12 years that he signed in 2019, staying with the Angels. Look, the Padres, it's not a big market, but it's a beautiful stadium, it's a beautiful city, and he can become the next Tony Gwynn. That's what he wants to be for now. We'll see how that goes. Last but not least, as we continue through audio files here on Barton Hahn, we go back to Deion Sanders, and he talks about, as we had that whole issue with him, and Jackson State, where he's coaching now football, Division I football, and he had something stolen. He talked about that. But now it's like you said, why is he at Jackson State? And Deion explains why.
We're going to be an option like any other Power Five. We just got to command the resources so we can be that option, because no one wants to leave the hood and go to the hood if the hood ain't good on the flip side of it. So we want to have the same equality when it comes to the training table, when it comes to the locker room, when it comes to the game surface, when it comes to the apparel, when it comes to all of that. I think it's second to none here. So we got that. But when it comes to the resources of the facilities, we just got to level that playing field so these guys don't have no if and but about it. Okay, I'm choosing Jackson State, but I'm going to make sure they have that option. And if you mess around and open that door, just crack that door, Keyshawn. Just crack that door, Jay, and let me in that living room. Mm-hmm. I promise you, I'm going to win.
No, that's prime. He was on KJZ, as you hear him referencing Keyshawn and Jay Will.
Yeah.
Bart, can it be prime time at Jackson State?
I mean, I think it can, but he has to – listen, his first game, I don't know who they were playing, but it was 53-0. Like, if he brings championships there, he's going to attract maybe not the top prospects, but the other guys from Florida, from Texas, from California, that really don't get the big-time scholarships, but they're good players, great players, and maybe they're not just the perfect, top five, or whatever you call the, class, whatever you call, the top prospects or whatever these days. They switch it up so much.
Blue chips?
Yeah, the blue chips or whatever they call it, five-star, whatever
okay.
they call it.
Five-star right? recruits, right?
Right. So, I mean, he can get the others, right? And he can dominate, and, if you build it, they will come. Athletes just want to be treated well. People love going to black colleges, man, because it's like a party. But like you said, you don't want to leave the hood and then be in fear of where you're living, the dorms, the housing, and then also dealing with stuff like, people stealing. Before that, he got his radio stolen. So you worry about the community around it as well. So if you do that, they'll have an opportunity to be able to be a special program and start, getting guys that come into the league and make a name for the school as well.
All right, that was Audio Files here on Bart and Hahn. Coming up, we go back to something we started the show with because I want Bart to further explain why, go into detail, which he didn't have time to do as we were talking with Peter King, why it might be better off to have patience when it comes to trading for Deshaun Watson. That's coming up next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
DJ Jake the Snake, man, on the ones and twos. And when you know when he's on the ones and twos, because he's going old school and he's just poking the bear every time he does, too. I'm not going to fall for it, though. It's in the afternoon. It's not nighttime, even though I don't have a window right now in my studio.
This reminds me of Baby Boy, though.
Who?
I want a mess with you, who?
Didn't Snoop do a song like this? Didn't he use this? Snoop used this as a...
Alan, I'm singing to you, man. Like I'm saying, I only want to work with you. I only want to work with you.
It's getting very uncomfortable.
You're my dog,
here.
Bro. You're my boy, Blue.
You're my boy, Blue.
You're my boy.
Let me tell you. So let's talk some college basketball. As we're getting closer and closer to March Madness, that means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of Wooden Award late season top 20 nominees to watch as this season rolls on. You know who's one to watch? Cade Cunningham. The freshman at Oklahoma State was really good last night and in front of, by the way, a bunch of NBA scouts, including Sam Presti from Oklahoma City. They beat Texas Tech 74-69 in Stillwater in overtime. Cunningham had some foul trouble, but he still got to 20 points and 5 rebounds, and he is certainly a name to watch as he's leading the Big 12 in scoring, and he could be the number one overall pick in the draft. The John R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's. Also want to remind you to stream Why Not Us, the new series from executive producers Chris Paul and Stephen A. Smith on ESPN+. Why Not Us follows the NCCU basketball team and reveals what it means to be a student athlete at a historically black college and university, only on ESPN+. So, Bart, I want to give you the opportunity, as we were talking with Peter King, start of the show, about why you were explaining the best move for the Jets, or maybe any other team, would be to wait on Deshaun Watson, perhaps until next year. Why?
Well, I want to say that, and I say that because I don't think that, you know, one, that they're going to be ready to move Deshaun Watson. They're going to try and exhaust every opportunity they can to try and get Deshaun Watson to say, you know what, I want to be here. They're going to try and save the relationship before they have to come to the realization that, hey, it's just not going to work. We have to see, and now let's move and shift our strategy to try and maximize what we can get for Deshaun Watson. I think, really, the Jets need to make sure that they can make themselves attractive. You make yourself attractive by getting some assets that Deshaun Watson would want to play against. So now you think about that. If this happens after the draft, you have an opportunity to make a trade for a guy like Orlando Brown. Now he's a guy who's been running for his life for a long time in the NFL. Now he feels like he has two guys that can protect him on the outside. You have the ability to either go get Brandon Scherff, and I just mentioned that Joe Tooney's not going to be probably franchise tag for the second year because they have to try and sign Andrews. So now you're able to build a solid front there. But if you move down in the draft because you know you're not trying to take a quarterback, you're able to get a future first-round draft pick after the draft. You could potentially have three first-round draft picks, which was the asking price for Deshaun Watson before it all started. But now you've already improved your team, and all you did was slide back, and you got the quarterback of the future. Boom, bang, bing. I should be the general manager.
Look what you're doing. Absolutely setting it up. Let's see if that all happens. You might want to call Joe Douglas on that. Bart, this was fun. Let's do it again tomorrow.
Holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Han, the podcast.